What up? About Last Night podcast listeners, your boy Adam Ray here. Got a quick question for you. You guys like making great money, right? Like super dope money? Oh, that's what I thought. Well, here's a really cool opportunity I just had to share with you. Driving with Uber. That's right, Uber. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's that popular smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. Yeah, man, everybody uses it. I take Uber pretty much every day. I take it when I'm trying to get to a comedy club. I take it when I'm trying to avoid drinking and driving. I take it when I just want to meet cool people. I'm telling you, the stories and the conversations I've had while in an Uber are incredible. One of my best buds met his current girlfriend through Uber because Uber drivers are the shit, man. They're cool, they're fun, they are good at conversation, and they get you where you need to go on time and in the appropriate amount of fun. You know why people love driving with Uber? I'll tell you what, the people who drive with Uber, they love it because they're their own boss, all right? They earn great money and it's easy to start. All you need is a car and a license. That's all you need. Driving with Uber is great for anyone who needs flexibility. Parents, all right, if you're trying to find a way to easily work around your family schedule, perfect, drive with Uber. Students, you looking to make some extra cash in between those classes? Perfect, drive with Uber. Now's the prime time to cash in driving with Uber, all right? You guys are going to thank me for telling you how to get paid weekly. I could be getting into your car when you drive with Uber, and we could talk about all sorts of fun. We could talk about DuckTales. We could talk about Pop-Tarts and Fraggle Rock and how the Muppets are coming back. We could talk about weed, man. I'm telling you, if you've got a car and a license, put them both to work for you today and start earning serious life-changing cash. Sign up to drive with Uber at drivewithuber.com. Visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Hey, guess what? Don't be a goober. DriveWithUber.com. Attention people who love sports, money, and fun. Your season-long fantasy football lineup is locked in and ready for action, right? But guess what? You don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test starting Sunday at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where you, that's right, you, man, me? Yeah, you, man, could kick the season off right by winning $2 million. It's the biggest fantasy football contest ever. You know that. $10 million in prizes are up for grabs, including $2 million for first place and $1 million for second. Look, one-week fantasy means no season-long commitments, all right? It's fantasy football on demand. You play where you want, when you want, with the players you want, and turn your love of football into a life-changing payday today. All you gotta do is pick your players, you pile up the points, and you pick up the cash. That's it. That's all you gotta do. You've never experienced fantasy football like this, or football in general. It's not fantasy, all right? It's DraftKings, and welcome to the big time. How does it feel? It feels great. That's what I thought. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code ALN to play for free for a shot at your chance to win $10 million in Sunday's Millionaire Maker event. Enter ALN for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. You got it, man. Now put down my Skittles candle. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show on iTunes and subscribing on iTunes. And thanks for all those ratings and five-star reviews. Jesus Christ, you guys have been killing it with that lately. It takes 2 seconds. Do it right now while you're listening to the intro and give us a five-star rating. Comment on the iTunes page. That helps us climb the charts and continue to deliver great shows for you guys. Sorry, I'm a little slow. I'm doing this this intro on Labor Day. I just got back from Vegas, a week of shows at the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana in Vegas with my buddies Mark Saratello and Brett Riley. Shows were awesome. Everybody that came out, thank you so much. The shows were incredible. I'm going to be cutting together some clips from those shows and posting them because there was just a lot of great crowd work and fun moments on stage that, you know, I say great quad work. Jesus, I told you, I'm losing it. There's just a lot of great organic moments on stage, you know, similar to that of the heckler potentially racist moment clip that I posted that that went fucking viral a couple weeks ago. Got featured on E-Bombs World and Reddit and The Chive. Anyway, shows are great. Love the Laugh Factory in Vegas at the Tropicana. Thanks for coming out. And thanks for bringing your ALN merch. I signed some shirts. I signed some mugs. You guys are the shit. Keep getting your merch at estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y, merchandise.com. If you don't have an ALN shirt or mug, go over there right now and pick one up. It's a great way to support the pod. They're comfy-ass shirts. The mugs are fun to drink out of. And bring them to shows, and we'll sign them for you. Today's episode of the podcast, I am really pumped today's episode I am so pumped for because I've known this dude for quite a while, and he's just an incredibly unique person, comic, mind. He was promoting clubs and parties at 15 in D.C., did that for a while, been doing stand-up, I think, for 5-plus years now. His story of seeing Dave Chappelle for the first time in D.C. for his Killing Him Softly special is bananas, and he was almost the voice of Winnie the Pooh. His background is unique. His stories are gonna fucking blow your mind. I've been wanting to have him on the podcast for a long time. He's a great dude, a great comic, one of the house hosts of the Laugh Factory. And his name is Tehran. That's right, comedian Tehran. T-E-H-R-A-N. I don't know if Tehran's done a podcast before. He definitely settled right in, though, and just was a great conversation. Fun to listen to. He's just got opinions and thoughts about so many different aspects of life because he's a pretty multicultural dude. Just his background and his influences. You see it in his Facebook posts about his shows for the Laugh Factory. Just always got a lot on his mind. Today was a lot of fun. We laughed a lot. We just, you know, learned some shit, which is always fun. Anyway, his name's Tehran. He crushed it. You guys are going to love this episode. Follow Tehran on Twitter at IamTehran, T-E-H-R-A-N. Follow Brad on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Follow me on Twitter at AdamRayComedy. And come see me live in Fort Worth, Texas, September 17th through the 19th at Hyenas in Fort Worth, Texas. September 17th through the 19th. Get your tickets at hyenas.com. And then I'll be headlining Comedy Juice in Irvine, California at the Irvine Improv September 22nd. I'll be doing Fort Collins in Colorado, Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado, September 23rd. And then I'll be headlining one night only Spokane, Washington, October 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Bing Theater in Spokane, Washington. Bringing my friend Kelsey Cook. Going to do one night at the Bing Theater in Spokane. Come see me there. And then, of course, come see Brad and I at the Tempe Improv October 28th through November 1st. Get your tickets at improv.com. Brad Williams, well, he will be in Tampa, Florida at the Improv September 18th through the 20th. Go see Brad in Tampa at the Improv and then see him at House of Comedy in Bloomington, Minnesota. That's at the Mall of America in Minnesota, September 30th through October 4th. A lot of exciting shit going on with Brad and I that we can't wait to share with you guys. So many great podcast guests being lined up. Can't wait for you guys to hear them. But now that we got all the Twitter handles out of the way, those are the tour dates. That's all the merch info. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with our buddy, comedian Tehran.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Candles started happening, and yeah.
I mean, this is popping first studio setup.
Hey man, I'll take that. I'll tell you what's popping. Your fucking robe you walked in with.
Yeah.
Bathrobed up, dude. I'm always bathrobed up.
Are you really?
Is that
always?
And that's how did you make the decision of, you know what, every day bathrobe?
LA made me make that decision.
Is it because that you know that if you walk into
LA, a guy who sells bathrobes?
No. Listen, in LA, there's so many hot girls. There's so many good-looking guys. I couldn't even begin to compete. In DC, I was like a big fish in a small pond. Mm-hmm. But then when I came into LA, it's like, yo, I'm a really small fish in a really huge pond surrounded by whales. And it's like, wow, right? Wow. So I was like, I'm going to check out these girls. I'm never going to be as good looking as them, but at least I'm going to be comfortable while I check out some like really nice asses the whole time. And that's become my thing.
And you know what? The thing about LA is that you could be walking in to a grocery store in a bathrobe, and that's not the fifth weirdest thing someone's
exactly.
wearing at that moment.
Exactly.
Like you go to your average Whole Foods, and you're gonna walk by a Buddhist monk who somehow got a pink mohawk, who's then like,
wait, what Whole Foods are you going to?
Venice.
No, that's a good point. At the Ralph's down the street on Sunset. Yeah. Have you been there after two?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like a variety show.
Exactly. Yeah. The Batman from Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh
walks
yeah, he
in.
Makes his way through there.
Yeah,
as Batman.
As Batman,
he's getting his bat snacks.
Yeah. And the funny thing is when people look at
fruit
me
by the foot.
For wearing a bathrobe, funny, when they're checking me out, like, why are you wearing a bathrobe? And I'm like, you're wearing a Batman costume. Yeah. And you're looking at me, and it's like, you can accept Caitlyn Jenner for being transgender, but you can't accept me for being trans wardrobe. Like, let me live.
Trans wardrobe.
Yeah.
So like, when people make fun of you, be like, hey, I identify as someone in a bathrobe. I feel like I was born someone in a bathrobe. So I feel like you should just accept me as the person who wears bathrobes.
So funny.
Brad Williams is hilarious.
Yeah, he's quick, man. He puts it together.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, you lobbed it up.
Yeah, you know. And you know what? Anyone that truly gets mad at you is absolutely jealous that you're wearing a bathrobe and they're not.
And now I've been able to go to everywhere in L.A., most places in L.A. Like, I'll go to the nightclub in the bathrobe.
For real?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, but you're also...
It'll be a great stone Sunday.
Let me say this about you, too. And hug that mic a little bit more if you want.
Yo.
You can hold up whatever, but we want those pipes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Filled in. There it is. You've got, I don't know, maybe the most just natural swagger that I've ever come across.
No. That's you two. Look, hands down.
No, but
Brad Williams walks into the club, has five tall, 6 foot supermodels behind him.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Adam Ray comes in, and like every girl at the club fawns over him.
Jesus.
And you guys are giving me swagger credit? No, don't do that.
Well, but like,
hey,
but
man,
like,
game
we're not,
recognizes game.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're not the ones wearing the bathrobe.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, it's the bathrobe. It's
come
the
on.
Bathrobe.
Is that. Like, is that something that when you're talking with someone or, you know, meeting someone for the first time, do you feel like you're more comfortable talking to them? Because it's like, hey, fuck it. I'm in a bathrobe. I don't give a shit. I'm not trying
like
to be someone I'm not. I'm not trying to fake it right now. Like,
you go to
no.
meetings like that? Yeah, but you clean up well. For shows, you always look dapper.
The show thing, and that's the funny thing, is for my shows, everyone expects me to be doing it in a bathrobe, and I don't. I only do...
Why?
I dress up. Because since I'm hosting shows, I feel like it needs to be more professional.
Cool.
My focus is you guys coming on to the show, because that's the highlight, you know?
Yeah.
So I dress up, and everyone always asks, why aren't you just wearing the bathrobe? And that's why.
But is that still you? When we see you in a tie and a nice vest and a backpack and a hat that has your fucking name on it, which
everything
I want to get into.
Everything has my name on it.
Does that bathrobe?
The bathrobe, this one doesn't because it's actually newer.
This is Eddie Bauer.
Most of my bathrobes do have my name on it.
Awesome.
When did that start and why did that start? First of all, Tehran means what?
Tehran is the capital of Iran. I was actually named after the capital of Iran, and everyone thinks it's because I'm half Persian, half black. My dad's Persian, my mom's black. Everyone always assumes that my Persian dad named me Tehran. Tehran is not a Persian name. Persian people always make fun of it. My mom named me Tehran because it was the closest thing for her that sounded black. It sounded black to her. It was like Tehran.
It does. Like you, I could totally see. Yeah. That makes sense. So like he's like, well, we either name him Hummus or Tehran.
Exactly.
Which one do you want? You're like, I'm gonna go Tehran.
Exactly. And my dad thought it was a horrible name, and
really?
Fortunately, it worked out for me. Like, it became like my identity.
And
Tehran.
you just made it your own. And now that you like, and you have this individual.
Wow.
I can't say this. Wow, brain fart.
Wow.
Individualistic.
Here he was giving you compliments about your quickness.
But even then, still Brad Williams
it's still
funny.
Brad. I know, man. He's got a funny way of delivering.
I try. I stutter funny. Anyway.
Brad Williams is I stutter funny.
From the creators of Air Bud comes Stutter Funny. Starring Brad Williams. You'll laugh your ass off.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Brad Williams, rock star, superstar.
Recovery.
Recovery,
my friend. But like, when do you take your name and then go, you know what? I'm going to put it on my bathrobe. I'm going to put it on my hat. I'm going to put it on all
only Madonna really does that.
Yeah.
You know? Or J-Lo.
Before I got into comedy and everything, I was a promoter in D.C. I was promoting clubs, events, big parties, big events. And I even had artists, and I was doing a lot of artist management and stuff. And because of that, actually, what happened was my artist, I got one deal. They got into a fight over the advance, which is so stupid because they could have done such
money.
So much more.
Yeah. Money always fucks
over
you
money.
Up.
And then the other one, after the contract, was like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. So I was like, I want to be my own product. And I was always in that promoter realm. So because I was in that, I've been promoting myself since day one.
Okay.
Wow. So this isn't new. It's just the transit. The brand.
You just came to a different city.
Exactly. I'm in a new city promoting a different product still under my label of Tehran.
Right. Mm-hmm. Tehran was, a event brand name.
Exactly.
And what kind of parties would you put on?
I was throwing.
You've told me some of the
luxury. You guys can go on. There's videos. There's clips. Like, if you go to DC and ask about it, they'll tell you. I was throwing amazing parties. I was like finding underground subway stations that were empty and throwing parties in there.
What? Ninja yeah. Turtle style.
Oh my
Holy
God,
crap.
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
How do you have the wherewithal to go, I wonder if that fucking like that trash can over there is no one's been
yeah.
No one's been there. That abandoned like warehouse or that softball field hasn't been used since.
Yeah.
Never underestimate the power of wanting pussy. Like, that's what it really comes down to. You will find whatever it takes to get what you want. Like,
wow, that's the opening line of Stutter Funny, by the way.
Yeah. It's just my dad sitting me down going, listen, son, never underestimate the power of wanting pussy, and me like going, that's great, dad.
But what's pussy?
It's like, say it just like that. You'll get so much of it.
You guys are like, it's like the movie Twins watching.
DeVito.
Yo.
I mean, come on.
It's going to be you, Adam Ray.
Exactly.
Sorry,
that's what
Adam
I was saying.
Ray, you're the DeVito.
I appreciate it. Brad's got the Schwarzenegger calves.
That's what I do.
Wait, so what was, if we went to DC and we said, hey, remember this party?
Yeah.
Like the name of what, was there a certain
okay,
name of
so
a party? Like,
there was this place, I threw like this all-white party, which sounds generic, but it was at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, which
yeah.
is the only five-star hotel in DC.
Maybe, wow.
I think it's like a little more. But it was where President Obama threw his personal inauguration thing.
Jesus.
I was able to get the entire bottom floor and had like these girls walking around a la Victoria's Secret with angel wings and bras and panties. And this is in mid-February in the snow, and everyone had to wear all white. And it was just amazing.
Baller.
Or the Warner Theater on the rooftop, which is three blocks away from the White House, four blocks away from the monument. And you're... DC's not a tall building place.
Yeah.
So you can see, it's like you're looking at like what's that book? What was that book with
Where the Sidewalk Ends?
No. No.
The Giving Tree?
The Da Vinci
The Chosen?
Code. No, you guys. No.
Okay.
No.
Moby Dick?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Da Vinci Code.
Green
it's
Eggs
like
and
you're
ham?
Looking at the Illuminati
yeah.
symbols
okay,
in DC.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that's what I was getting at.
Wow.
Yeah. So those parties were big.
Like, and then. How do you get the whole bottom floor? Do you just go to them and say like, hey, I've got my name on my hat.
Yes.
You should let me throw a party here.
It's
yeah, you had to have a speech or a
combination of them knowing me plus the key people being Persian always helps.
Fuck. Ooh. That Persian connection
is worth, listen, it is worth money.
Hug that mic, baby.
Yeah, it's worth
a lot.
Pull
it up close
here.
If you want.
Yeah. I'm getting it.
Persian
yeah.
connection would
yeah,
be an
Persian
awesome
connection.
Boy band name. They could totally open up for NSYNC.
Now what would their opening song be? About what would it be about?
It would be about a flying carpet. What else? It would be the flying carpet song.
Girl wanna fly a carpet into your heart. Into your heart.
Yo, he should write that.
I mean,
I'm serious.
Actually,
he should write that.
I might have to.
Through the skies. Through the skies and up to the stars. Ooh.
That's
I mean, I don't know if it's ooh-hoo, or if it's like a Persian thing, so it's like la 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 la,
nice,
or something
dude.
Like that. I don't
you
know.
Had to take it.
Just,
it
you, took, you made yeah, it yeah, a little
you
racist.
Made it racist.
I had to make it a little racist.
It was fine. Double
I was going desperate for a laugh. I'm like, what's going to get either a laugh or what's going to get Tehran to throw his headphones at me and leave? Let's go for it.
Yeah,
whatever.
It.
But
and it worked.
Brad's always a joke away from, dude, you had to make it racist. So was there, okay, so you're getting recognition now from these parties, right?
Yeah, those parties were a big deal. Yeah.
Oh, wait, we got to go back. So what would you say to these guys when you're like, yo, this is what I need. I need girls with wings. I need the bottom floor.
Yeah.
Like, I need...
Basically, I would have a whole...
Capri Suns with the straws already put in them.
Money. It comes down to money. They mm-hmm. knew their bar would hit, you know, X amount of dollars, and so they were willing to take that chance.
Now, let you have control.
Yeah.
and let me have complete control.
Gotcha. Now, when you're promoting a club, a party, does that differ from promoting your comedy shows? Like, because when we promote our shows, we just put it, you know, we put the stuff up on social media. We might
pass, we say the
might,
time might in the club, flyers. Maybe who's on it. You give extensive posts.
I mean, you've seen my posts every week. It's I create something new, and you know, and where it comes down to is the lineup isn't always given to me ahead of time. So people are really coming because they just know it's going to be a good event.
Mm-hmm.
At the comedy store. And you guys were there Monday, both of you. It was last night takeover.
Yeah.
And everyone was there and had a great time. In fact, we had a situation where people had come late for the guest list and about 40 people got turned away from the door.
Oh shit.
Yeah, people trying to get in because, you know, they wanted to see what the hype was about. And so
nice.
That's how it works.
So you're good at creating hype, which is that safe to say?
I mean, that's what my career has been about, Adam Ray, is creating hype and then failing people.
No.
Every time and time again.
Never. Not true. No, we always have great times at your shows because of the atmosphere that you create. It's always the crowds always know, like you say, they're going to get a great show. They don't necessarily know who's going to be on it, but they know, like, well, Tehran's doing it. He wouldn't have a bad comic on his show.
Also, so, you know why you're a great host for the show and just a great comic is that you welcome people in very well, right? And that's just your natural, like, personable abilities coming into play, and probably all of your hosting stuff and the way you interact with people. Just being very personable, so you feel like you are, you know, hosting an event, and then you're smart, so it's like your shit's always making people think right off the bat and not just getting up there and doing like, well, who's got a birthday, who's whatever. But then you interact with the crowd, which is important. So you're giving them a taste of everything.
Well, thank you, Adam.
Because that's what the whole show's going to be. There's never a show that's just straight everyone doing their material.
And also, we also have a strong line, like, let's be real. You guys on the show help make me look good. You guys are killing it. I've seen Adam Ray is coming up with new stuff. Like, every time he gets up there, yeah, I'm laughing. I need to meet your nieces if it's the last thing I do on Earth.
They'll be on this podcast soon.
On some weird shit. I like every picture of you with them.
Yeah.
So it's like, and sometimes, you know, I'll be with people and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's Adam Ray's nieces at the park.
Right.
Bro.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know.
Yeah, they're like staring at you, staring at two little girls on Instagram, like, is this a Jared from Subway situation?
Exactly.
And you're like, no.
Especially when it comes after, like,
they're funny.
Twerk Nation is my other Instagram follow.
So
and then,
funny.
Like, Janice's ass loves to clap. And then it's like, Adam Ray's nieces. And it's like,
Twerk Nation.
It has come up once or twice.
That's a thing?
I'm pretty
Twerk
sure.
Nation?
Yes,
now, how much of your day is being filled by Twerk Nation viewings?
I mean, I would hate to admit on record
sure.
how much of my day is actually filled
well,
with
just you saying that makes me think it's more than what you're gonna say. So give an honest PC podcast answer.
I mean, on my Instagram, I would say Twerk Nation, which, by the way, are girls that come to my show.
Yeah,
and which is the only
it's
reason
a
I
networking,
follow them.
Business exchange,
and they have millions of followers.
They support you.
Sure.
What are you not going to support
exactly
them? Clapping
is probably 60% of my Instagram followers.
Oh man!
Wow.
Where do you meet these girls? Because you're always bringing beautiful women to the Laugh Factory. You've got Tehran groupies. You've got after a show, I'll get off stage. You're like, Adam, meet Veronica or meet Bianca or meet some sort of Anka.
Sometimes they're just named Anka.
Yeah,
that's it.
And they're always gorgeous and sweet and love comedy. And I'm like, where?
I'm out there meeting people constantly. Like, I've seen a lot of comedians are actually afraid or ashamed to tell people they're comedians when they're out. Like, they just don't tell people, hey, I have a show tomorrow at so-and-so club.
Yeah.
I'm constantly, like, if I'm getting your number, I'm also giving you an invitation. It's to come to the show.
Yeah.
I'd rather have
It's pretty
I'd
much the best invitation to have
girls.
Locked and loaded, isn't it?
Exactly.
Who doesn't want to go to a free comedy
exactly.
show?
Exactly.
Especially in a place where it's the best.
It is the epicenter of genius.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have any day. Bob Saget came to the show on Thursday and just
right.
rocked it. I mean, he's up. Bob Saget. He's America's
He's America's dad. He's America's filthy dad.
A filthy dad, exactly.
That's
and
so
he was
great.
So filthy. And people, you know, they don't know that about him until they watch one of his shows.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of drop-ins that people expect. And like I said, you guys being on the show, you guys are individually on the show a lot, but together... Mm-hmm. That was money.
Cool. Yeah,
that was money. In fact, I actually try to get it to so a segment was you two just being on stage together.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, corporate. You know how that went.
Hey, man, there's always a...
But that's not what... Buddy, that's not what we do at Laugh Factory, buddy. Exactly. It's one comedian, then other comedian, yeah, buddy. You don't have multiple comedian, and I'm not doing a Duran impression.
That's your boss at the aquarium you work at in Stutter Funny.
Come on, but I have a set tonight, buddy. You're not funny, buddy. You stutter and you
never be a comedian.
Buddy.
Clean the fish tank. Clean the dolphin
buddy.
Shit.
Oh, the dolphins, they love you, buddy. You the size of their krill.
They love you because you talk like them.
You know, it started out as a joke, but this movie actually has legs. And I really think Adam Sandler listens to this, you will see.
Stutter Funny. It does sound like one of the movies that was like in Funny People, like on the posters.
Exactly.
Oh my God. A joke movie.
Yeah. I don't know what his character name was in that movie, but.
You know, where he was like half mermaid, half man.
Merman.
Merman.
Yeah.
Well, his last couple movies, he's actually been on merman status. So,
But probably still made.
It was still made hundreds of
money.
Like, yeah, killed it. Like, they can't even say no to this.
By the way, great rep. Like, just so we know, we were talking about a fake movie merman, and you said made Splash Money, which is a real mermaid movie
that crushed.
That made a fuckload of money.
Well done, Adam Ray.
Well, that was Tom Hanks, man. And anything Tom Hanks is something I'm definitely going to be aware of.
Absolutely.
Speaking of being aware of your heroes, we need to talk about something last night. Was it the Comedy Store? Brad and I were talking about this before you walked in. And I don't know who you, and this is, we'll segue into who your influences were and who came up on. But Jim Carrey was it for me, man. Rob Williams, Chris Farley, Eddie Murphy, Jim Carrey. Yeah. And probably Jim Carrey the most because it got me the earliest. Eddie Murphy was the first stand-up I saw in high school. Even Sinbad I saw at some point from my dad, and that was an influence. Chris Farley, probably middle school, high school. But fucking elementary school, dude.
Jim Carrey.
In Living Color, Ace Ventura fucking changed the game for me. And he showed up at the Comedy Store for the first time in... I don't know how many years, but a lot, right? Because he just hasn't been around because he knows it's going to be pandemonium. But he came last night for whatever reason. He's executive producing this Showtime show about comedy in the 70s at a comedy club. And he's there, right? And he's watching some show. And I'm just like, a weird feeling came over me that I've never really felt before. You know, I've been starstruck, but not in a while. And the more I think we all get in this business, you know, we work with Chris Rock comes in, and that's and you're on the same bill, or you just see him at the club, and there's an initial. But something like Jim Carrey, to where it was like such a big, and I'm such a fan, and he's impacted me. I felt like almost numb, and I was like, this is weird. I've never felt out of body like this before, and I was trying to think why it was. And I was telling Brad. You know, I was, fat kid. And when I went from fat kid to funny kid and started making people laugh, A, was inspired from Jim Carrey. And then what I was doing was on the bus, I was like reciting and performing Ace Ventura to friends, to an audience, you know. I'd be prank calling people and doing impressions of teachers and friends to like two or three. But this was on a bus or at school at the lunch table. And it was like, that's when I got like more... awareness of like, oh, Adam's funny, and it was enough with the fat kid stuff. He's the funny kid, and so that's like a huge, like solely because of him and like how much I loved what he did. So I'm like, oh, that's why I feel so weird right now being in his presence, because like he probably is, you know, I mean, fully responsible for the fact that I'm doing this, you know,
and made
me want to do it.
It's so weird how there's some people that just have that moment with you, whether if like they directly influenced you, like we've all met really famous people, but the two people I've gotten actually starstruck around was meeting Rob Williams and Hulk Hogan. When I met Hulk Hogan, like I was like, oh my God, this is my childhood come to life. Who are the people for you that?
Wait, but I want to finish this Jim Carrey thing.
Jim Corey was also there.
Well, the story is getting to the fact that Jim Corey was in the back, and I was like, and Jim Carrey looks at me and goes, "I heard you're a big fan." I go, "Yeah. Excuse me, Jim Corey. Hey, man, loved you in Splash 2. I know everyone talks about Splash 1, but Splash 2 is the real film.
Yes,
it was when you and." Help me out.
Tom Hanks' son, Chet Hanks, who's actually a rapper.
Yeah.
The rapper.
Is he really?
Yeah,
that's true.
The N-word who drops the N-word. He's the rapper.
Yes.
The white rapper who uses the N-word and justified it on YouTube.
Yep.
Has Tom Hanks come out and responded?
I don't think Tom Hanks actually has come out and said that this is his son.
What if he just came out and go,
like after that? Yeah.
What if he just came out and responded as Woody from Toy Story? All right. So, and so basically, so I'm having these feelings, and then I see Jim Carrey. He walks through the back bar at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And looking right at me, and I'm just looking at him, and he's got a train of people behind him to go up to watch the roast battle and judge it. And he looks at me, a big smile, and he goes, "Hey, man." And I go, "Hey." And then he just keeps walking. And I was
That was your moment?
Yeah, dude.
That was your... Hold on. You just gave me what I might consider top three soliloquies I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I was locked in.
Okay, I'm talking about you were up there with Hamlet. You were in there. It was strong. I had like
to talk out of your ass or not to talk out of your ass.
It was
that is the question.
Me, like the I was a fat kid to the. I mean, this was like a real.
It was personal, dude.
Like,
it was an
you
epiphany.
You were
going
to win an Academy Award.
I
for
had an
speech.
Epiphany, dude.
And then when you got to actually interact with your hero,
isn't that how it goes, though, man.
You said. Hey.
Yeah, as if I was some black girl in a salon meeting her best friend for coffee.
Hey.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
But it was quick, and I go, man, should I have introduced myself? Should I have? He was on the move. I didn't want to stop what he was doing.
But he stopped. He looked.
No, he didn't stop, but he
interacted with you.
Yeah,
that second, that half a second of communication with
he
you
opened
was
the door
directed
for
to
it.
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe he recognized you. Let's be real. You want to talk about when I get starstruck? I'm going to be very honest. I've never been starstruck in person. Okay?
Really?
The person who influenced me most comically would be Dave Chappelle. That's mm-hmm. one of...
You saw him in D.C. when you were growing up?
When I saw him in D.C., I actually attended his taping of Killing Me Softly.
Oh,
and it was just off of it. And
that's a great special.
You guys have no idea the feeling or the charge in the atmosphere
in
when we
room.
Were leaving. I mean, we saw what we knew was something so special. People had tears in
That's
their
the
eyes.
Special where he talks about the drug dealing baby, right?
Yes,
exactly.
Dude.
Oh my
Sesame
God.
Street. That's special.
And remember,
I put that special up there with Bring the Pain and with Delirious.
I mean,
it was a game changer for him. It was a game changer for comedy. It was.
It's the white voice every black comic and every subsequent comic, regardless of race, does now. Is the hey. We're on 3rd Street.
Yeah.
And we all know that voice, you know?
Dude, mm-hmm. live. What the fuck? How did you even get tickets to that?
Okay. So, I mean, I was, at the time, I was still a promoter. I was very young, but I was still promoting. Like, it was my beginning stages of, like, basically being a flyer boy. So, I had the hookup because we were passing out flyers.
Awesome.
For that. And we didn't even know. We knew who Dave Chappelle was just by, he used to actually stand outside, and we had seen him growing up. He used to stand and just do comedy on the street.
What?
Yeah. Like, that's real.
In D.C. Jeez, that's street performer
I mean,
to a whole other
level. Like, just being outside, just doing comedy. We used to go by, like, take the metro somewhere and then come out, and Dave Chappelle would be there, not knowing who he was.
Yeah.
Then we see and he's doing the special, and he still wasn't Dave Chappelle yet. He was still this come-up comedian.
Right. It's like we saw him in Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Exactly.
That's what we knew him as.
And then after you watched that, you walked out, and it changed, like when I say it really changed people's lives, I mean that night DC was in a fervor. It was just crazy. It was pandemonium. No one had seen or heard something like that since maybe a Richard Pryor. And so that was the.
And people knew that. There was like an animus feeling of just like, oh, we all were just a part of something historic.
Exactly. It was just a given. Because he spoke about things like if you lived in D.C. in the 90s and when he said something like the white people were in Virginia, like, not yet.
Yeah.
You guys have no idea how true that is when you're in Washington, D.C.
Right.
The 80s and the 90s were a crazy time in Washington, D.C. And watching someone speak such real.
Truth.
Yes.
What was going on in the 80s and 90s? Why was it so
crack? your
mayor was smoking crack and then was reelected.
Murder capital. Yeah, yeah. Marion Barry, who passed away, rest in peace, and the whole Barry family, who my mom is actually really good friends with, was the mayor of D.C. regardless of his title. D.C., he ran D.C.
And Adam, what happened was he got caught on a hidden camera.
Yes.
Buying and smoking crack in a hotel room.
Yikes.
Got caught.
With the prostitute.
With a hooker, too.
Yeah.
Throw that on top of it. And then.
By the FBI.
by the FBI. Oh,
Jesus.
And then got reelected.
And then got reelected even after getting
that is the most likable motherfucker.
He ran DC.
Yeah.
DC.
Now, what had he done prior to that that gave him so much credibility?
He was the guy who spoke the truth in DC. He was
the voice of the people.
Voice of the people. He was one of the people. That is the epitome of who DC was at that time, you know? Mm-hmm. And
but it was just what drugs, crack epidemic, and that
was
how did that trickle down to like affect you as a kid growing up there? Like, I mean,
it was very bad. I wasn't allowed to play outside. As soon as my father was able to move us out of DC itself, we moved to Virginia. I would go to DC on the weekends. Mm-hmm. My mother is actually a commissioner at HUD, the Housing Urban Development.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
I mean, I have a very interesting background when it comes to that. Like, I'm like, even religious wise, right? My dad's part Muslim, part Zoroastrian. My mom's Jewish, and her father was Baptist. It's like,
Jesus.
Wow.
I was raised around a lot of different aspects of society.
You're the most tolerant man on the planet.
I am. Not, but so, it teaches you to hate everyone.
So you're the most intolerant man on the planet.
Piece of shit. Yeah, like everyone so only thinks about themselves and don't. And the racist things people say.
Yeah, so you're like, I'm not a racist. I hate everyone equally.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, when you were speaking about Jim Carrey, like I understand that feeling because I was there. Like, you watch something and then we're affected. I was there when someone personally. Basically affected me.
Yeah.
But when I met Dave Chappelle, it was chill. Like I had never been starstruck.
Oh, at the factory.
That's true. And we hung out and we went out and he's just a cool guy. We've gone out a couple times.
That's cool, man. I would like to think that I
said more than hey. We actually have a conversation. We hung out.
He was moving. Here's the thing, man. If Jim Carrey had walked into the Laugh Factory and he was at the top on that top
balcony level
yeah. where you know there's just a lot of hangout seats and whatnot. Maybe it would have been different because it's in an enclosed environment. If he walked to the back bar and then went all the way back to the back patio in the Comedy Store, then I would have followed maybe back and engaged out there. But I guess I feel very aware and probably overly considerate of like, as soon as he's there, I'm like, oh, he's getting bombarded by everybody. So
you don't
want to
be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy. And I want to, and there's something to be said. People go, well, don't fan out. Look at him as a peer. You're on that level. And in my head, it's like, but I'm not on that level because he's a fucking juggernaut superstar. But I get that because it's like maybe meet him and you know, audition for a show today. And let's say it goes to the point to where he's in the room where I'm auditioning. Would it have been great if I had introduced myself and we would have had some small talk about the show and whatever? Maybe. Or maybe it would have hurt me because something would have happened that gave him a preconceived note. Hindsight's 20/20.
I mean, I was saying, the times I get starstruck, and it's actually happened, you're a perfect example of this.
I appreciate it. After I got back from filming The Heat, yeah, you couldn't believe that you were talking to me.
No, but when I watch The Heat with people, and you were there, I'm like, I know that guy. That's Adam Ray.
Yeah.
Like a little bitch. When I watched Spy, I was a little bitch. Oh, you know what I'm saying? When I saw Brad on, I think it was a Comedy Central thing, did you do?
On the Dave Attell show?
It was. Underground?
Yes.
Underground.
David Tell Comedy
came on.
Yeah.
He was like, oh my God, this guy. I was like, I know him. That's Brad Williams.
Yeah.
That's when I get started. But to you guys, I'm like, hey, what's up, Brad?
Yeah,
what's going on?
Yeah.
Hey, Adam.
So is there anybody that you would get starstruck? I mean, like, because but I don't know how much Chappelle after you witnessed that one show. Like, Jim Carrey he hit me in sixth grade emotionally.
Yeah.
I need to finish that sentence. And then and then kept it going all the way through high school, dude. So that's a lot of impact.
That run of movies was pretty impressive.
That run of movies and just, and then it was at a point when it was growing as an interest for me. So it was like, it was coming up. So you saw Chappelle then, but then let's be honest, Chappelle got quiet for a while. Because Chappelle Show didn't come out for, I don't know, 8-10 years after. So if he had been maybe just continuing to fucking move you, then maybe when you saw him at the Laugh Factory, you might have been more...
Jay-Z.
There it is.
Jay-Z would be the person... I had a concert with Jay-Z. It was the first concert I ever threw. Rock the Mic tour. I bought a new suit to pick him up from the airport. The entire time he was there, he maybe said two words to me. And
what were
the
those two words?
Yo.
Thanks.
Not even. He never. No, thanks would be too much. Like, yo. I think he said,
That's all he needed to say.
He didn't. And then at the end of the night, they took the girls that were with me to their party, and that was it. Yeah, so.
Wow.
But Jay-Z was.
Wait, when was this?
2003, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how are you throwing a Jay-Z concert? How's that happen?
I collected all the money that I had made from promoting.
Yeah.
And bought the concert and brought it to Washington, D.C.
What?
And we did it at
shit,
a club
fuck.
Called Nation. Yeah. It was the first major. And it was so much hard work, and I maybe profited $800 from it, but I learned so much from it. And then.
Do you have a team when you do this stuff, or is it all Tehran?
I had a team. No, at the time, yeah. It was like
you
we
have
had
to.
A whole team.
That's an insane amount of work.
Yeah.
Okay, so at what point does comedy even enter the realm here?
Because yeah, because you're picking up Jay-Z from the airport. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, telling jokes on stage, in my opinion, would be the last thing on your mind.
At 18, and that's the thing. So I get these artists signed. I get these artists, like, I thought I was going to be Diddy. That was my original life plan, right? I was going to be Diddy. I'm finishing college.
I got a fat friend.
I'm just like, yo, I'm going to be Diddy. I thought, yeah, baby. Yeah. I was there. And then,
if you came out with an alcohol, by the way, I would buy it. You just call it Tehran?
Tehran
alcohol?
Are
you kidding me? Yeah, I don't know what it would be.
I mean, I wouldn't know either. I don't,
yeah,
drink.
Don't drink.
I've never drank, so.
Yeah.
I've just been
That's
around
crazy
too, much.
By the way. You've been around too much.
Too much.
You saw too early the
exactly.
destruction
all
it can
the clubs
do.
And the parties, and you saw, yeah.
Yo, I was at clubs at 14. At 14 shit. Years old, I was at clubs.
Jesus, humble Four brag.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you get into a club?
When I was 14, okay, so once again, it's the Persian connection. The Persian connection hooked it up. Persians own.
Because you're so hairy, they
the
thought you were 25?
No, they already knew.
Oh, okay.
But Persians hook up, like, most of the clubs in LA are also. Owned by Sam Nazarian, who's also a Persian guy, who's a mm-hmm. good friend of mine. So
awesome.
That's why everyone always wants to go out. They hit me up to take them out.
Does that get old after a while?
It gets redundant.
You got to be
like,
sparing.
I'm used to it. Yeah.
Be
yeah.
sparing with your Tehran hookups.
Exactly.
Right? You get maybe two coupons a month.
You get like, yo.
Maybe every couple months.
If you
man.
Hit me up one time, we're going out. But if you're like consistently, you get addicted. Can't do it. And there yeah. have been yeah. a couple comics that have gotten addicted.
I bet.
I've had to cut them.
Yeah.
I've had to cut them off. It's like crack.
You know who you are, by the way.
You know yeah. who you are, Fahim Anwar. You know who you are.
I mean, I was going to say maybe Don Rickles, but sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
say Roseanne.
Yeah, because we all know she likes to party.
All right, so 14, how are people looking at you in the club?
I mean, I'm just in the club. And then finally, I actually get a job after a couple months of working at the club, like working for one of the head promoters, which is how I got in the game. Doing silly stuff, taking money to the car, passing out flyers.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know anything.
Right.
And then after that, the club thing, I mean, at that time, clubs meant something. Now, everyone goes to the club. Back then, clubs were still in its heyday. Like, people would get dressed up. People were paying $50 to get in and
sure.
giving the bouncer at the door blowjobs and jerking off the DJ. You know, crazy.
And that's
stuff.
Just how Tehran got started.
That was my start. All that for one night.
Hey, kid, you want to meet Jay-Z?
Wow. Exactly. All right, that's the third act of Stutter Funny. After you quit the aquarium and try to be a DJ. Did you hear that fucking slip up?
Oh,
see,
man.
You got everyone stuttering.
Perfect. Yeah, it works out.
Just being around the lead of Stutter Funny gives you a speech impediment.
It's contagious.
So
you saw
that,
so much booze and craziness.
Everything. Good drugs, like.
Hand jobs at the DJ booth, which, by the way, is a fucking.
That's the worst drink to order at a bar. Yeah, I'll take the hand job in the DJ booth. What's that? What's that made with? Just sweat and tears, fermented,
and crystal clear Pepsi.
Yeah, crystal clear Pepsi.
And it's yeah. I mean, it happens. Let's be real. It happens.
Was there one single event that you saw that was so heavily encouraged by alcohol that you were like, Jesus?
100%. Oh, I'm okay. So
I can't wait for this.
Okay, yeah. So a group of guys goes out with their buddies. I'm assuming. Group mm-hmm. of friends, one of their birthday parties, and they're the loud douchey guys that are
sure.
It's my birthday.
Oh yeah.
His friends watch drunk him make out with I don't know the proper term now is
transsexual.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that the right term?
Okay.
Now?
A woman that used to be a man or is
it's
a man during the day,
not
a woman
even
at night?
A cleverly disguised.
Oh.
Man, like
okay.
still maybe a little pieces of stubble,
yikes.
Like a little bigger, He's so drunk. Just like, he's just like making a cross-dresser out. Just going
at that point.
They start, and here you are, and you see the shadow of the transsexual gentleman, mm-hmm. female, mm-hmm. going down on frat boy.
Oh, God.
And then you see him stand back up. Frat boy reached down to I would say, finger.
Yep.
And then feel penis.
And cup.
And his friends, remember, what, like, just literally watching this, pointing, taking, and we didn't even have cell phone pictures back then. These are
right.
Like literally cameras.
Kodak those, disposable those,
exactly,
cameras.
Kodak, yeah, yeah.
Like, hurry up and flash, hurry up and flash.
Yeah, yo, charge.
Feeling, and then freaking out, and then transsexual.
Yeah, he's looking around for a hole, and he's just finding two big sweaty nuts.
And the guy pulls down his pants, and the frat boy come. He wants to punch this guy, and transsexual beats him the fuck up.
Wow.
And we watched the whole thing unfold, like we saw. And then, of course, when the transsexual was beating him up, that's when the bouncer stepped in and stopped everything.
By the way, that's how the commercial ends, and it just goes, Jack Daniels.
That was absolutely crazy.
Oh, my God.
And that's
dude.
A true story. That's yeah. a true story. I actually know the person's name, who I won't put out there.
Sure.
Now,
oh, sure.
Because this person actually now works for Congress. Yeah.
What?
It's DC, man. It's DC. We all, most of
President most of Obama, no.
With, what?
Most, nice. Most of the people that I went to school with ended up working for the yeah. government on one way or the
some
other.
Some way.
It's, you know?
Wow. You must know some shit about some shady politic behavior, huh? It's as crazy as we think and know that it is, huh?
I was very immersed in DC, you know, at the time where a lot of things were going down. I actually had I would call it a part-time job doing things during elections that you guys would probably be like, whoa, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, back to the club story. I just love the fact that guys will let that happen to their boy.
They were encouraging.
They paid for
like,
it, man.
We got you. They were like, yo, we're blocking you. And I'm watching it unfold. You know what I'm saying? And
so that makes you, so young Tehran sees that and goes,
I'm an accessory. And man, I was like, I'm never drinking.
They ain't sober.
Yeah.
I'm never drinking. I'm never wow. drinking alcoholic. And
you've never even had any sort of a
not even like an eggnog at Christmas.
No, not even.
Do you celebrate Christmas?
You know what?
That's really a weird thing to say.
We Christmased it
uneducated.
Up too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's okay.
More,
cool.
More just because we're American, more than
gotcha.
It was a religious thing.
All right. Cool.
But no, even inkling. No. Small.
No.
Like, man, I would. Maybe on my birthday when I'm 50, I'll have a cocktail.
Apple yeah. cider it up.
Apple cider it up.
I've just never tried anything. I've never smelled.
No pot, no cigarettes.
Never. And that's the
good
thing.
Good for you, man.
He sticks to black tar heroin.
Yeah, what is your vice? Everyone's got a vice. Every comedian, is it women?
You know, I would have to say if I had a real vice, and this is the answer you kind of give at interviews at work.
Yeah.
But success is my vice. Like,
I care too much.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I work too. No, I really.
Hey, I'll say what it is.
By any means
necessary. Maybe it's basketball.
I do love basketball.
People don't know this about T. Holy shit, man.
Can you ball?
I'm okay.
No,
can you ball?
Dude, okay is what John Paxton said about his skills.
No, not even.
And you go, yeah, but you believed him.
No.
Your new nickname is the Iranian John Paxton.
Yeah.
We're going to stop that right now. I can see everyone being like, hey, aren't you the Iranian John Paxton?
Yeah. No, please go find him on Twitter. I am Tehran. Hashtag the Iranian John Paxton.
See?
John Persian Paxton.
Adam Ray and I had the chance to be on a team at the Comedy League, and you know, Adam handles himself very. Adam, how tall are you? 6 foot,
6'1". Yeah,
plays like he's 6'8". I'm
quick, fat, can ball.
I'm dead serious about that. He was inside. I was dishing him the ball. Like,
dude, it was the immediate chemistry that was formed on the court was kind of crazy. Just because, like, we both have strong basketball IQs.
Yeah,
and I have no problem saying that because we do. And hey, man,
he does. He does.
We've been playing
and
our whole
really
lives,
worked.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the. You know, when moving without the ball is big, you know, we both did that a lot. And
100%.
It was like, but being, and like just the inside out game, and then like where he was, and knowing where he was on the court, and being like, and also when, if I'm down low in the post and I draw some defenders and then kick it out to T for a three, or he's cutting down the lane, it's like, as soon as that happens once, you're like, oh, you get it.
And you here's get the it. Thing with that. We did one play where I went up for this reverse and dished it to him, and he made it like, And to the point that the girls that were with the other team were like, oh, like, and that was the highlight.
Yeah, that is the best. If you could ever get a guy's girl to clown
him. They're girls,
him.
And, the and they were so heat, because they were a pretty good team. They, yeah, were, yeah, they were one of the better teams in the league. And, you know, we had a very, we had a good team,
we
too.
Had a great team.
Did Jeff
you,
Keith.
Yeah, did a lot of comedy, yeah, ballers. Did you ever have aspirations of being in the NBA?
No, I knew.
Really?
Earlier. Because I grew up, I played AAU. Kevin Durant was in eighth grade, maybe.
What?
Mm-hmm. You knew he was going to the league. I was, wow. Ty Lawson. Like, these guys were in the AAU league, and we were watching them.
He's eighth grade at 6'6", maybe.
No, I don't think he's 6'6", but I think he's, yeah, he's eighth grade. He's definitely hitting a 6 foot if he's not, you know?
Right.
And he's balling.
And you're how old?
11th grade, maybe.
Oh, okay.
And he's killing us.
Wow.
Like an eighth grader. And I wouldn't say killing, but you knew he was going to do something. Yeah.
Wow.
And so when you play college ball, right, mm-hmm, you're kind of significantly better than high school ballers. High school baller is significantly better than the average street baller.
Yeah.
The NBA player is that, even the 16th guy on a team, yeah, is that much better than everyone else that you've ever played.
I love the video, I think it was like maybe 6 years ago, of 6 or 7 years ago, of Lamar Odom going to Rucker Park.
Oh, exactly.
In New York,
yes,
and just fucking
and just
owning everyone.
Yes. Awesome.
And then I think that Brian Scalabrine did the same thing. And Brian Scalabrine is
a baller.
Is the 16th guy on the team. Who's,
they loved him in Boston.
Yeah, who's just the token white dude, red hair. And he got called out on like by some street ballers, and he just owned him. That, so like the level of skill from... the difference between college and pro is
no one understands
insane.
That because people watch it on TV and they're like, you kind of feel like, why didn't he just catch that? And don't? Trust,
yeah,
me,
crazy.
If he could, he would have. These guys really don't miss. If,
yeah,
if they're coming to your regular street court, they're flaming everybody there, no matter how good a street baller you are.
That's right. Why they get paid these contracts, because at some point they show their worth. You know, like they. Like Russell Wilson. Why do you think he just got 4 years, $87 million for the Seahawks? Because he went to the Super Bowl his first 2 out of 3 years. So it's like, oh, wow, that was Durant, I mean, or Harden getting this big Adidas contract.
He's
it's like,
killing
oh, because
it.
Yeah. He just was the MVP in his, what, fifth season, and yeah, he's like, clearly, the consistency is huge.
That's a big
and,
thing.
And, I mean, is it still like a ridiculous amount of money? For sure. But are they bringing in a shit ton of money?
100%. And, Brad, I got to tell you, if Adam, yeah, like, legitimately, if the footwork... And the play, if Adam Ray was 6'8", size-wise, physically,
sure,
he could have contended in the NBA. The way,
wow,
I saw him play.
I can't. I just
I'm being dead serious.
I mean, you're going to make me cry because that might be the best compliment
I'm being
I've ever
dead serious.
Because I think the same fucking thing, man. You
know, Brad, I'm being dead serious. I was, because I knew Adam Ray from comedy. I'm like, we're friends. And I didn't know.
And right now.
You know, the, you know,
right
the guy
now,
in the puffy vest, that sweet Hakeem the Dream.
Yo,
fucking
right
pivots.
Now. Adam Ray and I are having the same thought. If only I was a foot taller. My life would be so much different.
I love you. I love
you. You wouldn't want to be a yo.
I wouldn't.
You're killing it.
Fuck
right?
That.
Listen,
no, I like
the
it.
Models I've seen you walk in with and just you own and you tell them like, yo, you've never had someone this size? And they go for it.
That's what I love
it's
about
it. It's a problem.
Well, you know what, dude?
You
because
turn down girls. I have watched Brad Williams turn down a girl and say something like, no, not tonight. I'm too tired.
I
just
did.
Got back from tour or whatever. You said something upstairs.
Yeah,
VIP,
yeah,
and I was
yeah.
like, did Brad just turn down a 10?
Well, yeah. What's great about it is that he's a charming dude and he's not a creepy piece of shit. So when he says like, you know, like, hey, bucket list to these girls, it's a joke, but he's also making conversation. He's
no,
also,
if you write but, down what he's saying, it's creepy piece of shit stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
They're just
you're
taking
right.
it right. like
trying,
with a grain of salt.
All right, I was trying
no,
to make you look
I've
good.
Heard it. Like,
no,
listen,
no, trust me, I'm aware.
He's
I'm totally aware.
Creepy piece of shit.
Yes,
stuff
I am.
To every girl,
but I'm
he's
fucking
getting
adorable.
And they're like, oh,
yeah. When you're adult, see, this.
It's like if Jeff Dunham did it with a puppet, he'd get away
yes.
with it.
Yes, I'm the equivalent of Jeff Dunham's puppet. Jeff Dunham should carve me. Wait, that's kind of weird. Jeff Dunham should make a puppet based.
Have
on
you
me.
Ever said something, Brad, where you've been like, okay, that was Stephen too far for me?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God, and yeah, I and then I'll apologize. Be like, that was fucked up.
But did you need to apologize, or could you have gotten away with it? But you're conscious, maybe
he's got a good
I
conscience.
No, I don't know. Maybe
I've seen
Brad
you
has
say
a Jiminy
some,
Cricket.
Yeah. I've seen you say some stuff that I'm like, did you just say that? Like that's not okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't say that here, man.
You can't.
Oh, thank God I'm cute.
Yo,
God, I'm cute.
And if the girls were smacking you, yeah, I would be like, hey, Brad, stop. Yeah. But I've seen their response and they're loving it. I'm like, I need to learn.
Well, because you certainly have to test the waters. And you have to know, like, okay, like, because some girls, you absolutely under no circumstance, I don't care how fucking cute you are, I could be a dwarf wrapped in a Build-A-Bear costume, and I still wouldn't be able to get away with it because that's just the way they are. So you kind of have to test the waters. You're like, okay, this girl I can kind of push it a little further with, and things like that. But and then... Also, the key is that if they ever do show that they are uncomfortable, that you then stop. That you then.
I've never seen a girl be uncomfortable with you, though. That's the problem. Like, no, I've told people, don't leave your girlfriend around Brad Williams.
Yeah.
Because he will call her an Uber and get her home safely.
He's human McDonald's. They're like, ba-da-ba-ba, Brad, I'm loving it. Like, it's
I don't want to make it sound like you're going home with every girl. I'm just saying you have the ability to do so and choose not to, which is. The big key is like, it's your choice. While I've seen most comedians, they beg.
Yeah. Oh, well,
that's like only thing they do.
That's,
yeah.
I mean,
like they need, like, please.
I mean, I feel like, did you have somebody that was maybe a mentor for you in the school of how to talk to women, or did you just kind of naturally figure it out from your
trial and error?
Well, seeing in the club, you must thought, all right, cool. Oh, don't talk to a girl like that. Don't get a blowjob from a tranny like that. Like, there must have been a checklist of observing in the nightlife scene.
Check for an Adam's apple. Good. Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? At such an early age,
I grew up with this group of, okay, so.
Brothers,
you know,
and sisters?
I'm the oldest, but I had a group of girls who are very attractive girls who are all actually in the industry, entertainment or fashion in one way or another, and they're very successful.
Cool.
Executives at Giorgio Armani, models.
Jesus.
They grew up as my friends and they were a little older. So I think of them as sisters. I don't even think of them in that way. It's when I say it's their friends, I mean, they're like my sisters.
Yeah. That's what's great about you.
They
too,
taught me.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They taught me. They were like, no, yes, no. And I just watching them.
And then, okay, so wait, so like trial and error, you would figure out by interacting with them, or they would say,
they would tell me.
Tamron,
they mentored me. They gave me real advice on girls. Like, we'd go to school, and they didn't all go to school with me, right? So one day, all of them came to one of my basketball games, and they would hold like Tamron signs and just make me look so cool in front of everyone.
That's
and
awesome.
Be cute, and then just like extra, and then be like, yeah, that girl, whore. They would just be like, yeah, you see her? She's a cracked screen on her phone. You know what that means? She doesn't use protection when she has sex. She's a whore. Like, they were like schooling me on some real girl. Oh, she puts her cell phone in her back pocket. Anal. She does anal. She's a whore. Like, they were just schooling me on this girl stuff, like the secret code, and telling me how to really deal with girls, until the point where it just sinked in, and
they were so, I mean, like, they would come to the games and make you look good and do the signs because what, you weren't trying to fuck them, you were just being
they were like my sisters, so they were supportive, and they were doing it on purpose to make sure that I was cool at school since seventh grade. And because of that, they always have my back. They always had my back. And awesome.
And then obviously having a good mom, she probably would just...
Mom's amazing.
Yeah. So you're like, I'm treating women right based on the fact that my mom is a stellar human.
My mom is a very... I have very good parents, knock on wood. Support. They actually almost love me too much, which
for
is
sure.
annoying.
Yeah. And how do they react when not only doing comedy, but like when you're doing the club promotion stuff? Are they supporting you?
Yeah, you don't come home 1,000%? And tell your folks, like, this guy put his finger down, he was looking for a dick, he found a clit. Like, it was like...
It also helps that I graduated with a double undergrad degree in government, politics, and communications, a master's in economics,
holy
and a
shit.
Law degree. So that helped
that makes sense.
On one side.
Sure.
And on the other side, when it comes to Persian parents, when they see money, they're okay. Like, Persian values are a lot different than the standard American value when it comes to things. Mm-hmm. Like, the ethics are a little different. The hookup. Like, for example, if you got caught cheating on a test or something by an American mom, they'd be very upset with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stole bread when I was stoned from the grocery store my freshman year of college, and a letter was sent home telling my mom I was banned from that grocery store for a year, and she didn't know I smoked pot. She's like, why are you stealing bread? Why are you stealing bread? I worked three jobs so that I could afford bread. Wow. I was like, I was fucking high, mom. She's like, what? because I had to tell her.
I learned it by watching you.
I was trying to be Aladdin. Yeah. So she's okay. So they just sort of like, all right, cool. If you
No. They wouldn't be cool. They'd be upset that you got caught. See, there's a different dynamic.
Oh, wow.
Like they'd be like, why did you get caught? Not that cheating's okay.
Right.
But what is even worse is you getting caught. Like,
gotcha.
Here, you did this.
Yeah.
And now you did this. What were you thinking?
Right.
Wow.
And it's real. It's like, and I'm not saying all Persian parents and like blah.
Sure.
They have like very good hearts, but they definitely want you to be successful. So something like there's a Persian saying that basically says, if you're going to be a bank robber, if you're going to be a thief, don't steal a dollar, steal 100 million. Don't be like.
Yeah.
So your parents would have told me, why'd you just steal a loaf of bread when you were high? Why didn't you go on the cookie aisle and take one bag of each?
The truck, right? Yeah. The one bag of each. No, the truck. You should have hijacked the truck. If you're going to do it,
the hostess
you're bringing
truck.
Shame to the house. You might as well do it for a reason. Wow. So it's like,
I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
It's almost like that passively and subconsciously integrates like a work harder mentality.
It does. Yeah. And that's why you see a lot of affluent Persian people, you know, in the United States, Persians are known for being super rich. It's not like this is money that they brought from home. The revolution happens. They all pretty much leave with nothing. The fact that they got here, they had to start from nothing with a language that they don't even speak. And yet we're able to own all those gas stations. We make fun of them. Those make a lot of money.
For sure.
All those Persian rug stores that
everybody
are going out of business 27 years make a lot of money.
My two of my best buds from USC, Steve Brahim and Bobby Giavahari, two of the hardest working dudes I know. Did they come from cash? You fucking bet your ass they do.
And they still work hard.
Work super hard.
They didn't matter because they had to be the best. They were like, yo, we have to get great grades. It can't be just mediocre. Even though they could sit back and do nothing.
Interesting.
It's a work ethic that's instilled. And I see it with the clash of like being half Persian, half American. I see the difference.
And your mom, the comedy, I mean, so when you're hosting these parties, they were just like, cool, man, you're like the
as long as
blind
you're the
support.
Best.
As
long as you're not blind. I mean, it's not blind support. They see results and then they go, hey, you got to be the best.
So that's a consistent thing with Persian values, as long as you're the best.
As long as you're the best. It's, and I like that.
So Michael Jordan's parents were Persian.
They must have been.
And then when does comedy come into play? We started to get into it.
Law school. Okay, so after the artist thing failed and I couldn't be Diddy anymore, I needed to be my own product. And I was like always fun and funny and loved interacting with people. And when I was going through the list, there's no royalty in America, right? Mm-hmm. Can't be king. The closest is you can be celebrity,
right?
You know, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, these are the kings that we. Leonardo DiCaprio is a king.
Yeah,
you know, he is a king.
We've seen the pictures.
Oh my God, he's
closest
a king.
Thing we have to it. Yeah.
So I was like, I want to get into entertainment. I'll be my own product. I can't rap. I can't sing, but can I tell jokes that are effective? And no, the answer was no. Until you practice, no one realizes how much work goes into comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Until you do comedy, all these people, it actually offends me when people are like, oh, I'm a comedian, and
offends
when are
you
getting up? And they're like,
get on the fucking bandwagon. I get so, it drives me nuts.
Exactly.
When I have friends who are young comics who do it once every 6 months.
Exactly.
And they post shows like as if they're doing it, and they talk to me as if we're on the same level about shows, and I go, dude, if you were hustling, I would talk to you about this. But you're not. You can't do it once every 5 months.
An open mic?
And you know why I get so fired up about it is because I did that for the first couple years of my 8 years of doing this, where I did it once every 3-4 months, and I was like, I'm a comic.
I'm so good. I'm great.
And then when I finally figured out, like, oh, no, there's a lot more work that's
involved.
You got to
do this every night.
As soon as I jumped in fully, because I had one foot in, one foot out, because I was afraid of what was required, because I knew what was required. I was like, you got to be out every night. You got to be like, I got to start sacrificing all these social activities that I want to be a part of. And so once I did that, it was like, oh, dude, now I know what the work is.
And I've seen you guys. I've seen Brad. Listen, one of the hardest nights that I had, we had a crowd of people. I don't know if you remember this. They didn't crack a smile. They didn't give, they didn't care. Mm-hmm. Brad Williams goes up and murders. And I'm looking at him. I'm upstairs. I'm talking to Whitney Cummings.
Oh,
and I say, that's a guy that put in 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
You watched it. Whitney and I were out. And then you go up. And look, girls are automatically thrown off because you're good looking, right? You're going up there, you're on this good looking thing. Because Adam Ray does the good looking thing.
He does.
He does. He does his hair. He's got like a, he's got the outlet.
But hey,
the,
not blaming you.
Yeah,
I would totally do it too.
But then he, listen, with his chill, it's not hype. I'm very energetic, right? Mm-hmm. He's so chill, laid back flavor. murders, mm-hmm. right?
Laid back flavor.
And I watch people and I
come this summer from Lay's potato chips.
You guys are stars, man. You guys, and this isn't just because I'm on your show. I've said this to you guys to your face.
Yeah.
I've said this about you behind your backs. You guys are true stars. And I don't believe that of everyone that gets on the stage. I actually don't believe it of, I would say, 80 to 90% of the people that I see. But there's a quality that I've seen in every single star. It's a certain, let's call it the je ne sais quoi, the something.
Yeah.
You guys have it.
Andrew Santino
has it.
Yeah, oh yeah, he does.
Gerard Carmichael has it. I'm watching these guys like, yo, these are going to be the star. You guys are going to be the stars of the future. Then there are people that don't have it. You know, and they're great guys. They're great girls. Mm-hmm. They're great people. You know, but they're just
now. Why do you think now? Coming from a guy who has been trying to be the best his whole life, who breeds a successful work ethic, when you see these the differences in the people? Because you're seeing being at the factory 7 nights a week and just being around comedy as much as you are, you do get exposed to so much, and you get to know people deeper than what they are on stage.
Yeah,
so 100%. What do you think it is in some of these people that you're talking about that is lacking? That maybe is it just straight up the 10,000 hours?
It's not just the 10,000 hours. In fact, they are getting by because they put in their 10,000 hours. And so because of that, the audience doesn't notice the difference between a high B or a B plus and an A. They're not noticing that difference. They're getting laughs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something special. It's something different when you watch Brad go up or you go up or Andrew or Gerard and you still see, even though you guys are killing it, you're still growing each time you get up. And more importantly than that, people are just automatically drawn to you. These other comedians are faking charisma. They don't have it. They don't have the natural charm. They don't have that command of the audience that you guys do. Hmm. You know, your humor isn't for everyone. It mm-hmm. isn't. If I wrote Brad Williams's set down on a piece of paper,
oh god, it would not be funny.
And handed it to someone else.
Oh god.
And he's like, "Yeah, I'm diddling the girl like a game." Yo, it's not funny.
Good to hear years of crap.
Yeah, just diddling the girl like a game.
Yo, because I mean, no, I didn't want to give it away. But then when you say it, I completely understand.
Yeah.
And when you say it, and there are like, and look, in my crowds, especially Monday night, Thursday night's more young, but on Monday night, we have some parents in the crowd.
Yeah.
When you have grandmas laughing at that, dude, you're a freaking master.
Thanks,
there's
buddy.
No way. You would get stoned in some of the countries that these people are from that are in my audience, and you are laughing. They are laughing.
Yeah.
The Prince of Saudi Arabia thought you were hilarious one night.
Wait, what?
Yes, the Prince of Saudi Arabia.
There was
Arabia.
A Prince of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, 100%.
He could have. Well, why didn't he say, "Hey, Brad, that was hilarious. Here's a Bentley."
Yeah, well, actually,
he could afford it.
He didn't. But what he would do was he was staying at the Beverly Hotel,
yeah.
And every Wednesday night he would bring me to mm-hmm. get a bunch of comedians, like, mm-hmm. and he would rent the entire ballroom at 2 a.m. They had a casino. They had dancers. They had like mini fireworks that went on the ball. And it was for 6 people, Brad. 6 people.
What?
And he would bring, and I would just host it and bring a comedian up and stuff.
Holy shit. Yeah. That is nuts. Well, when he comes back, I will entertain the fuck out of those 6 people.
You know what? One comedian ruined it for me.
Oh,
one comedian.
Don't say who, but
I'm not going to say who.
Can you say what happened?
I will. Okay. So I brought a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And the
let's
comedian,
just call her Rita Rudner.
Okay, it's a guy. It's a guy.
Let's just call him Rita Rudner.
Okay, so comedian Rita Rudner.
We're always got the amount of pounding Rudner has taken on this podcast,
which is a great sentence
verbally.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
All right,
so he came. They asked for an Arabic comedian, okay, mm-hmm. and not Ahmed Ahmed. They
okay.
wanted Ahmed Ahmed. Ahmed yeah. Ahmed was unavailable. He wanted an Arab comedian because he had like another prince and another diplomat.
Gotcha.
In that night.
Gotcha.
So they wanted an older Arab comedian. I had one in mind, someone mm-hmm. I had done shows with before, a couple. I brought him to the show. First, and we were instructed, hey, don't talk too much about sex because mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's disrespectful to
sure.
them. And don't talk
Wait.
About...
Okay, is that a real... That's a real concern.
Yeah, 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 of course. I mean, these are religious men. They're diplomats.
Okay.
Saudi Arabia.
But they probably have sex.
I'm sure they do.
Hoping.
But it's just not discussed.
I mean, it's not discussed.
In public,
and,
okay.
and it's a matter of respect sometimes.
Yep.
We've respected audiences.
For sure, yeah.
You
sure.
see audiences, you might want to curse, but you don't
yeah.
because you,
you
see...
Adjust.
You adjust. You
yeah.
adjust. And it's not censorship. It's just, you know, preference.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They didn't have to come through.
Yeah.
It's not mandatory. So they come, they're like, don't talk about sex. Don't talk about religion, okay? like putting it down in, mm-hmm. in any religion. Don't talk about the Jewish faith. Don't talk about the Christian faith or the Muslim faith.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And don't talk about, don't make fun of Arabs.
Gotcha.
Because once again, it's a diplomat that's there.
Right.
Okay. First joke out, he talks about his balls touching the toilet and then him, how do I say this? Coming on
an Arabic man's face.
Oh. No, an Arabic woman with a burqa's face.
Oh my God.
First, like
oh,
2 minutes in. So they get upset. And then instead of being like putting the mic down, he starts cursing them out and throws the mic and then curses them out in Arabic as he leaves
the hall. Oh my God.
And
shit.
Listen, I was making, you can ask a lot of the comedians that are at the Comedy Store that I, the guys that they had brought through. I was making people's rent. I was helping people pay rent.
Yeah.
You can ask Paul Elia, who I know your friend.
Yeah.
I was helping people pay rent with this gig. People were getting paid like a fistful of money.
Yeah.
Like about $1,000.
And this was where at again?
At the Beverly Hotel, like right there on Wilshire and Santa Monica.
Yeah, corner.
And he was renting out the entire ballroom at Wednesday at like one for literally six. The most that I'd ever seen was maybe 10 people. And he had like drummers. He had an entire casino where,
That's insane.
The casino thing, they were playing roulette and he would put money on a number. And then one of the guards would like be like, Abdul, like over here. I'm not going to say his name. Abdul, look. And then he would look and then they would switch the ball so it looked like it landed on his number. Because he was losing, and so he was getting upset, so they did that a couple times.
Hey, yeah,
hey, man.
Crazy, dude.
Whatever.
It was crazy.
As long as he stays happy and he keeps the money flowing.
And it taught me,
incredible.
You know, you got to be careful who you work with, who you attach your brand with.
Yeah.
You know, because this guy potentially ruined something that I was getting paid very well. I'm not going to say that, you know,
sure.
I wasn't.
Well,
but
sure,
I was also hooking comedians. Like, comedians would come to me and be like, dude, can I get this week or... Yo, I need it. I'm short on this or whatever. And I was getting people paid. And unfortunately, that happened. And that was the end of it. And he did actually want you to come to one of the shows. But
really? Was that a town or something?
I had asked you if you were free and you were going on the road.
Yeah.
And then that happened like a week or 2 weeks after.
Oh, man. Yeah. Just say Saudi Prince and I'll cancel everything.
And I'm saying this. People were going up. And when I'm saying, yo, it's not like you were performing for 30, 40 an hour doing two. No. Yeah. You were literally doing 3 minutes, 4 minutes.
So in 3 minutes, this guy blew this entire gig?
You were literally 1 minute. It was the first minute.
Wow.
3 minutes. You were doing 3 minutes and he was laughing. You would basically tell one or two jokes and he'd be like, oh, you're so funny. Thank you. And you would just leave.
And just leave
and
with
get
money.
Paid. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wasn't there not another Persian prince, but an Iranian pop star that came to the factory one night? I remember Shams telling me.
Yeah, yeah. I had a lot of Persian pop stars come through. Yeah, there was Kamyar came one night when you were performing.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty big.
Yeah.
He's, and him and Sammy Baggy.
Sammy Baggy. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
They're like the
good looking. Yeah, they were like.
They're like the Beavers of.
Exactly.
Persian Bieber.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really good sex maneuver.
Bieber.
I'm Persian famous, guys. You guys might not know this, but I'm actually very Persian famous.
I'm getting the Persian connection right now.
I'm very Persian
famous. It's
insane.
And then Drake's dad was there one night.
Drake's dad always, he comes a lot.
Remember that night and I ranked on him hard because he was being loud and obnoxious.
Yeah.
And then I went up there towards the end and there was maybe 50, 60 people in the crowd. And him and his buddies were just drunk and they were being a little disruptive.
Sure.
And then I got up there and was like, well, the room had gotten, I think it might have been like a midnight, it might have been a 10 o'clock show and it was now midnight. And
I was
like,
you were going.
I was middle of the 10 o'clock show carries over to the midnight show. And so then there's a host to buffer out the end of the 10 to the beginning of the midnight. And then somebody goes on first. And that usually can be great because a lot of people will stay. Sometimes everyone gets up and leaves and it's the toughest spot.
Yeah.
So I had the middle spot, which was half the people just left and it's late and people were drunk and Drake's dad is just fucking, and I was like calling him like the fucking Persian Super Mario and making fun of his chains and
he's got this big mustache,
giant mustache.
Yeah.
And he was loving it, and at the end of it he comes up to me and just hammered and was like, man, you're fucking
he told
funny.
Drake was supposed to come that night.
Yeah. And then
Drake had hit me up.
I go,
he
where's
was in
your son?
Studio.
Yeah. And he goes, he said out loud, you remember this? He goes, it was my son's. He goes, I go, I made up like a crazy rapper scenario. It was like, was your son just like face deep in some just amazing butt cheeks and throwing money all over the place and going down a slip and slide? He's like, yeah, pretty much. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, does he mind that you're saying that that's what he's up to? He's like, no, he's chilling. He's like, he's living a life, man. That's why I'm living a life, man.
Calabasas, yeah. Oh, Calabasas' house at Drake's house. We get it in at Drake's house. Drake
what?
Is
what?
A,
you been?
Yeah, of course. Drake is a creative genius, by the way. I don't know this whole thing with Meek Mill and Drake and Ghost Rider, but I have seen Drake where
Drake,
engaging.
Drake won. Just so
Drake,
you know.
Drake 100%
yeah,
won.
You won.
Listen, hands down, like, people have been booing Meek Mill at the club when they're playing him. It's
right.
pretty. And I mean, Meek Mill, I don't know him. He seems like a great guy. I enjoy his music.
He just got in way over
his head.
It was
the wrong. Yeah. I don't know what he thought was going to happen. Like, all the rappers would just start slow clapping when he tweeted that. And then they would just, like, get rid of Drake.
Excuse me, but who is Meek Mill? And what is the confrontation they've been involved in?
And I'm saying it in that voice so that you don't look at me as a 33-year-old man and say, hey, Adam, why doesn't Adam know? Guess what? I'm not so out of the loop that I don't know who Meek Mill is. Okay.
That's a good start. Yeah, that's a good start.
For sure. But when I see certain things posted like Meek Mill and Drake beefing it up, I don't immediately go, what? And click on it. Okay. I don't double click on that. Sure. However, that being said, sometimes if I see
Brad,
Taylor Swift and Katy Perry beefing it up, I'm like, this can't be true.
So then you click on Katy Perry,
that's
Taylor
the one
Swift.
You click.
Well, okay, man, because I want to marry Katy Perry.
Katy Perry's breasts are phenomenal.
So
everything's phenomenal.
She's also very talented, but let's not forget.
No, she also seems fun and funny and yeah, are her boobs, do they look like just the most fun ever? For sure.
Well, shots fired, Adam Ray. You hear that, Katy Perry? Yeah. He's making fun of your boobs. Adam Ray hates your boobs, Katy Perry.
What?
Did you hear
this
that?
Is the one episode Katy Perry
Brad, I have never thrown a dwarf out a window, but I will do it tonight, and you will land in that pool safely, so it will be kind of fun, but I will throw you nonetheless through that window.
Because I really feel you just made it that Katy Perry listens to this episode.
You're damn right.
I really feel
that. Or that
a
friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a Perry listens.
Exactly.
Coming this fall to CBS, friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a Perry. Starring Adam Ray and a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of Katy Perry.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's, I mean, hey, man, would I want her to come to the show? A lot of people come to the Laugh Factory, which has been pretty dope. I mean, you've probably met all of them when Bieber's been there.
Yeah, Bieber's come to my show a bunch of times. Miley Cyrus has come to my show a bunch of times.
Yeah, it's gotten that popular to where people are being like, yo, like they'll hit you up directly and come through.
Drake's dad comes. Carrie Hilson comes a lot.
Okay, so you guys are getting, sorry, I interrupted the Meek Mill Drake discussion.
Yeah.
Basically, and correct me because it's been a few weeks and I'm not so much up on my Meek Mill. basically, I think Meek was tweeted stuff that Drake doesn't write his own raps.
For no reason, by the way.
Yeah.
Drake had just done a song with Meek Mill, which is a popular song called Rico. Meek Mill, out of nowhere, basically, we don't know what happened behind the scenes, but Meek Mill started tweeting a bunch of stuff. And one of the things he did was, you know, trying to put Drake on blast for not writing his own raps and and dropping a couple songs that seemed to be recorded by another rapper, Quentin Miller, and saying that Quentin Miller is on Drake's writing staff.
Right.
Yeah, writing. And then the responses, how Drake responded is just
amazing.
Yeah.
It was
You gotta go and Google it.
It's like Meek Mill had no plan and started, and yet somehow Drake had the most diabolical plan of how to destroy Meek Mill, as if he had it ready and waiting in case this ever happened. Because he came out with a song. People waited for Meek Mill to follow up. He didn't. Drake came out with a song, Charged Up, which was just like a little tease. It was just a little like, oh, you like that? You like that tease? And then followed it right with Back to Back, which is a scathing diss. Very well done. Has a little bit of 8 Mile rabbit reminisce where he makes fun of himself.
Yeah.
From Meek Mill's point of view.
I feel like rapper beef is the best beef. And here's why I say that. Because it's almost like when you see
shots fired, Arby's.
Yo.
You don't have the best beef. Rapper beef has the best
Arby's
beef.
Actually got in on it by saying stuff like that to
no
Meek Mill.
Shit.
Yes, they did.
That's right.
That's true.
But it's almost the same way that celebrities will. You're on point tonight, Brad. There's a reason that like Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise will get married for a little bit. And maybe they are in love, but everyone knows it's not really real. I
don't know if Tom Cruise knows that, Adam, right? Tom Cruise seems pretty. I mean,
for sure, man.
He jumped up and down.
Yeah, he got on that couch quick, dude. Yeah, he got serious air, dude.
I don't. I've seen him act. He's
even Dominique Wilkins was like, "Damn."
Yeah.
All right. But I feel like creating like Drake and Meek Mill. Do you think it's real, or do you think they're like, yo, man, this is great PR?
No. It's not good. There's no way Meek Mill signed up for that.
No.
Okay. No way. No. Sometimes I could see that happening being the case, but not in this case.
No, because he really just got destroyed.
Drake made more money off back-to-back the scathing diss remark to Meek Mill than Meek Mill made entirety of last
Boy,
year.
Boy, say that 10
now.
Times fast, huh?
Yeah.
Meek Mill made.
Yeah.
And I mean.
Meek Mill made millions.
Yeah. Meek Mill made millions modestly. What? What? All right. That works.
Holy shit.
You have moxie, son.
I do.
You have moxie, kid.
Yeah.
So Drake's house. What the fuck is that like?
Drake's house, I mean, it's a house in Calabasas.
Is it like the house from Blank Check?
No. It's a nice house. It's a nice house, but it's also, here's the thing. Once again, going back to the Persian reference, when you go to a bunch of Persian people's houses, every house looks nice. Yeah, I mean,
every
it's
house
normal.
Is the Persian
I can,
house.
Hey, I can second that, dude. Bobby and Steve Bruhim, or Bobby Giavahari and Steve Bruhim, and Dave, a little shout out to Dave Bruhim too, because I know you listen to the podcast. Yeah, just the nicest houses.
Nicest house. They have very nice houses in general.
Yeah,
in general. So it's a nice house, but it's not more. I mean, he lives next door to. I think he has a Persian neighbor on his left side, and down the street are all Persian. He lives in Calabasas. Mm-hmm. So when you go to Calabasas, a lot of Persians. Beverly Hills,
a lot of Persians.
A lot of Persians. Yeah. When we recorded a podcast with Doug Allen of Entourage, we did it at this hotel in Beverly Hills, and just everyone.
So many Persians in Beverly Hills. People don't realize.
Which hotel? SLS?
No, it was the...
Owned by Persian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, SLS. Oh, okay.
People don't realize how many Persians are in Beverly Hills because, like, think about it. In Fresh Prince, when Uncle Phil threw DJ Jazzy Jeff out the fucking door, when he landed and stood up, somebody walked by and was like, "Hello, Jeff, DJ Jazzy." Like, people don't see that part of the show. But that happened every time he got tossed.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I love how much you hustle, dude. I absolutely love it. I love the fact that you were hustling in the promotion game. Now you're out here doing comedy, and you're hustling in comedy, and you're getting you put on a great show.
We're all trying.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like it's all that's all we can ever do is try, man. And I know that sounds like I'm starting some fucking. This isn't my Rudy Cool Running speech, but what I'm trying to say is that like I had this conversation the other day with somebody where we were, you know, and expressing some frustrations career wise, and as you do, like here and there. But that's what's important too is to have like people around you that you can do it with, but not let it like take you down to where you just because talking about it is good and like and we all inspire each other whether it's directly or indirectly and but like you know I mean we had a conversation you know at the factory about some shit with you that that was you know that I and hearing your frustrations and disappointments but then like for me I you know and trying to spin it for you just being like dude the fact that you got to go through that
yeah the
and
Winnie
now,
the Pooh stuff you're absolutely right
yeah can you even talk about that
yeah I mean I talk about look. After with that conversation, Adam Ray like was putting in perspective because I'll watch superstars, people like Dane Cook, right? Mm-hmm. Still express frustration over their career.
Yeah.
Have Whitney Cummings express frustration over their and these are people who are
quote unquote made it.
They've made it miles ahead of anywhere and they're still frustrated, you know?
Yeah.
And it's great. Having someone like Kevin Hart express frustration with his career.
Right. He's made $50 million on the last damn comedy tour he was on. But he's
dude,
still like,
we're never truly happy. That's why you got to find like or satisfied. And so it's like what's happy is getting to keep trying to be a part of the journey, you know, and to keep like trying to work. That's what's fucking like awesome. But you got this dope voiceover gig that we got to get into before we wrap this up. Brad, you're good on time, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
All right. So
I want to make you have a Long Beach gig.
Yeah.
No, but he's good. He got pushed. We got another, I'd say, 15-20. Is that cool?
Yeah, of course.
Perfect.
So you got a voiceover gig that could have been a game changer, right? For that world for you.
100%.
Yeah. Had you done much voiceover prior
to this? I've never done any voiceover work. What happened was one of the executives over at Disney, Sun, listened to my podcast, Imperfect Gentleman, which...
you can get on iTunes.
You can get on iTunes. Yep. Shameless plug. So
got to.
Mm-hmm.
he had heard my voice, liked it, came to the show on Thursday, unbeknownst to me.
Yep.
Hit me up on Twitter, but it was so random that it was like, I just put him on the
Because he
list.
Did it through Mickey, and he was like, yo, man, like, I work at Disney, but like, exactly. This is Mickey's Twitter, but like, yeah.
Basically, yeah. It was basically on that kind of level.
Yeah.
Came through, heard my voice, told me to come in. They hit me up on Friday with like, he made sure they hit me up, came in on Monday. I thought I was auditioning for something. He had already given it to me. I was the voice of Winnie the Pooh, the new...
The reboot. They were rebooting Holy Winnie the Pooh shit. To yeah. the cartoon. Yeah.
And this is... And just forgive me for sounding ignorant. This isn't like, it's Persian Winnie the Pooh. No, like, this is this Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, it was going to be my actual voice. They had actually put my voice to animation, which was crazy. They had taken...
What was that like, seeing
set
that?
...set on... Off Laugh Factory. It was great. And
they animated your set as Winnie the Pooh?
Set as Winnie the Pooh.
Holy. So and somewhere there's a video of Winnie the Pooh telling jokes.
It's somewhere on Vimeo, but it's locked and now I can't get it back.
Oh, I got it.
I had it.
You should have downloaded it.
I should have downloaded it.
It's all good.
Oh, God.
Okay, so you
I want that video.
So that happened so quickly and unexpectedly. And all of a sudden, it was just happening.
And then it was happening and everything. And then, you know.
And they're trying to do a reboot. This isn't just you're going to be the voice of the show. They already had. There were movies.
The franchise.
Everything. All the toys.
The doll.
And
exactly.
That's what it actually came down to was the dolls. So Disney has this, you know, I guess they have an algorithm or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Projected expectation of everything. And if it doesn't match up, they don't release something.
Wow.
Okay.
And that's what it came down to.
And let's be clear about one thing, too, because I auditioned for it a couple times. And they were like, we want people that can match Pooh's voice or all the characters. They want some of the originals, but then they also want people to do their own spin. Now, what are they locked in on with you? Was it the actual...
No, it was my...
Your interpretation.
It was my voice. It wasn't even interpretation. It was literally...
This.
The way I speak.
The way you're talking right
that
now.
That is exactly... So, they liked my... The way
so
I
let's
speak.
Do a little... So I'll be Tigger. So, hey, Pooh. So, I listened to your podcast. Pretty good.
I can't stop laughing. Why? Why?
Why is he laughing?
Eeyore, you're such a bummer.
Eeyore.
I'm not laughing. I haven't listened to your podcast, Pooh.
Well, thank you, guys. I'm glad you all listen to podcasts. I hope Christopher Robbins listens to the podcast, too. Do we have any honey?
Christopher Robin, that guy, I saw him in the corner. He put his finger down on some woman, but actually...
Okay, all right. Look, I still have a chance with Disney. Let's not...
It's happened to me 1,000 times before.
Take your Prozac.
Okay.
I just want to... Hey, Bob, I didn't...
Oh, my goodness. Prozac is amazing. I love it. Oh, my... This is Eeyore on Prozac.
Oh, my God.
This is fantastic.
Wait a minute. Who's that?
Edwin?
You guys are nice.
So... My Edwin impression?
All right. Well,
timely? Yeah?
We don't have to air the unrated version of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
The views of One Tehran do not necessarily reflect those of Disney and its partners.
Exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
And you have that voiceover gig with Kia.
Hyundai. Yeah.
How dare you, Kia?
I'm so
Hyundai.
Sorry. It's okay. Kia might have, you know, yeah, Kia didn't pay
Kia's
as good.
Kia's got
anyway.
Blake Griffin, man. Hyundai's got Adam Ray.
Yo, and that's a real lane voiceover.
Yeah.
That's a real lane. Only in Hollywood could all the things you've been taught not to do in class and in school actually get you paid.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That's us on a daily basis. We go up in front of people and goof off and draw all the attention to ourselves and act like idiots and say things that would embarrass our families. Why? Because we have to, and we're encouraged, and we make money doing it. It's insane.
Have you guys ever done the comedy camp at Laugh Factory? Come by and talk to the kids?
No. I'd love to, though.
Yo, I really think that I'm going to tell them
yeah.
we need you guys to come talk
oh,
to those kids.
Are we doing a heartbeat?
You'd love these kids.
Oh, my God. I would love to go do that just because it's so cool. It's so cool to see them and their interest in comedy. And while some of them will be there just because their parents put them there or whatever, you'll see it. You'll see in a couple kids that spark of like, you want to do this.
These are kids who actually, a lot of them don't have parents or they're
in a
bad situation or whatever.
Right. I didn't know that. I thought it was just young kids who were interested in...
No. To become a lot of these kids live in the group home. And, you know, and there are some... I mean, Tiffany Haddish was a comedy camp graduate.
Wow. Get out.
Yeah, Tiffany Haddish at the age of 15.
No shit.
Comedy camp.
I love that.
And now at the age of 30-something in a movie with Key and Peele called Keanu.
Fucking A.
That's
go,
real.
Go Tiffany.
And you guys, I really think you guys should talk to the kids. Now, and not do the Prozac Christopher Robbins raped a girl thing.
No, we'll save that sketch.
Yeah, save that one for, you know.
No, I just went back to the guy who directed all the musicals that I was in high school when I was home last time in Seattle doing shows. He had me come speak to his camp.
That's
a couple hundred kids from age like 9 to 17. Dude, I didn't realize how much experience I'd really had from moving from Seattle. We went through just my time in high school doing musicals to transitioning down here to acting school to getting out of it to working at the theme park to just all the grinding up until now.
Some kid stand up and go, hey, because of you, my mom got 3.5% APR financing on a brand new Hyundai Sonata.
Hilarious. That's probably true. Hey, guess what? Oh, that's a big compliment.
Yeah, that's real talk.
That's a big, hey, you know what? You inspire people without even knowing it. There was when I was working at Wolverine Universal Studios, a guy came up to me after a comedy show once and was like, hey, weren't you like, you were Wolverine, right? Which I'm like, I'm also a comic though. Like, forget about that. You know, let's talk about what I just did. And he's like, no, he's like, I recognize you because we were at the park, like, you know, I was still doing it. He's like, a couple months ago. And he's like, my wife and I, like, it was kind of like a go to the Universal Studios to like save the marriage type trip. He's like, and you had some really great interaction with like my kids. And my wife and I, we had such a great day. He's like, and now we're fucking like back
together.
This
is a bullshit story. Listen, you're telling me Wolverine, Adam Ray saved a marriage? Yeah. I'm
That's
pretty
right,
sure
bub.
Wolverine and Adam Ray broke up a couple marriages.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I'm glad you called me and my buff because I was going to go with that to see how long you guys were going to fucking. And you bought it for a minute, though.
I bought it for a second.
Yeah,
I was in.
Because I committed.
And that's what you taught the kids. Commit.
Commit, commit, commit.
What if I told them that? You know, I also spoke at my DARE, the DARE graduation when I was a senior in high school. You went through DARE, right?
The drug program?
Yeah. Yeah. What other DARE is? No, the double DARE.
No, I didn't go through the program.
Really?
No, I don't. Oh.
In D.C.? So it was just like, look out your window.
There
don't
was
do that.
DARE. There was DARE, but I just, we, you know.
You didn't go through it?
No.
Yeah. But you know of it.
I know what it is.
Keep kids off drugs.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went and spoke to the graduation in elementary school and,
Were you high?
No, because I didn't start smoking pot till college.
Oh.
But had I been to a party that weekend? Yeah. And did I? Oh, wait, I take that back. I smoked pot twice in high school. And the second time I did it was at the party the weekend before I spoke at the DARE graduation on the Monday. And I got so high, I showed up late. And I immediately was like, I got to catch up. And somebody handed me a bong. And I'm like, this is like the second time ever I'm smoking it. And I got so high so quick that I was sitting on the ground of the TV room at this person's house for like 3 hours, swaying back and forth saying, somebody take me to the hospital. I can't feel my legs. And cut to 48 hours later.
You're giving us
don't do drugs, kids.
And then did you tell them that rock bottom story? Listen, kids. Stay
48
off
hours. Let me tell you. 48 hours, I couldn't feel my legs. 48 hours before that, though, I was playing basketball for the Shorecrest Scots.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's crazy.
You could probably go back and speak to some kids right now.
I mean, I go to the comedy camp every week, or almost every week. Every Saturday, I'll be there.
There you go. And what nights are your shows?
Every Monday, every Thursday, 10 o'clock are my shows at the Laugh Factory. I'm there throughout the week as well, but Mondays and Thursdays at 10, those are my shows.
And when are you at Drake's house?
Actually, he's been gone for a minute, but next time I go, I will try to sneak one of you guys in. I can't take both.
Well, you can take me. We can sneak him in for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Take Adam.
We'll do it Muppet style. We'll get you'll put
trench coat.
Yeah, we'll put me on top of you with a trench coat.
That's hilarious.
Done. Hey, listen. I got a big hockey bag. You can tell them
that
there's
that much
booze
goes
in it.
On at Drake's house. He really works a lot. Like, you would think it's girls. It's a couple girls. Yeah, and they're very attractive, but mostly it's him on a big couch. No, just writing lyrics in his phone, which is why I was saying
on his phone
he's just like writing lyrics and then he'll go into the booth when he thinks of something and they'll just make it,
lays it down.
That's the best. You gotta have that booth. If I was at that level too, even if I was, it's like, I mean, yeah, to just
studio
be able
in your house
to immediately just hop in there and lay something down and so you can get a sense of like, you know, how dope it is.
Yeah,
we don't have it. It's like if you're writing at home, I guess, like for a comic, you can go out and get up on stage, but there's more.
How many times have you been driving somewhere and you just come up with what you think is the most brilliant?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great to say that?
And then you forget it by the time.
You know what would be great? An audience app where, like, you think of a bit, you go into your booth, you say it into a fucking, like, somebody has created. This sounds super stony, but follow me.
This is actually really good.
No, you say your bit into some, like, there's an app where it takes sensibilities from around the world and puts them in this fucking, I don't know how you get into a chip or whatever, but however you speak, maybe it's off your voice, your delivery, your...
And then it tells you funny or not funny.
Shut the fuck up,
funny.
Brad. Yes, and I'm in the content, and it, no, it doesn't tell you funny or not funny.
Yeah.
That's the beta version. You actually get like an audience response.
Oh, like they a level of laughter.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's
okay.
Home audience. It's studio audience in your home. It's home audience in your studio. That's what it is. All right.
You guys are laughing until you really see my face on Forbes with an app like this. And you guys are like, and you guys think,
damn you, Tehran.
Not a joke. That's how these things work.
Well, we need to end this podcast, get super baked, and write up this app.
Well, after we write the sequel to Stutter Funny.
Absolutely. Dude, Tehran, thank you so much for coming
by. No, you guys, thanks for
having me. Your Twitter, I am Tehran.
At I am Tehran. Also, hopefully, I'll be on this show on Fox with Tatiana Ali starting this fall.
What?
So that we find out this week.
Ashley Banks herself?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. You're out there. You're hustling.
And Sam Shocker. Do you know Sam Shocker?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Sam Shocker's on it too.
The opportunities are going to keep coming.
We'll see. I hope so.
Hey, think about where you are versus 5 years ago. Just think about that.
I lived very well in D.C., Adam. Actually, talk about starting from the bottom. I was making a lot of money in D.C.
Started from the top. Now I'm at the bottom.
Yeah. Dude, money don't buy happiness. Look at me, man. I got 3 candles that I bought myself. You think I'm happy?
Whoa. I do.
I got Christmas lights around a Muppet poster. You think I'm happy? No, I'm very happy. But, you know, you get down sometimes.
Yeah.
You're doing the right thing being out here.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in D.C. just swimming in cash?
And
who needs
women?
Who needs hookers and blow?
Dude,
and
you can. But
who needs that?
But don't you can do that at any moment, right? You could get up and leave and go back and pick that up.
True,
more or less.
And this is we're out here all living the dream, and you guys are people that I look up to and watch. And
did you hear that, Brad? Winnie the Pooh's a fan of us.
It's a true story.
I can die happy.
That's a true story. No, when I take you to Drake's house. That's when you can die.
That's when I can die happy. Started from the bottom now.
Chris Brown's house. You'll have the most fun, though.
What?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Cut off the podcast because we got to talk some shit.
Wait, real quick. Why?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one where it's like what you think it is.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Slipping slides out of windows.
I mean, it's not that creative. But
Willy Wonka fizzy lifting drink rooms.
It's what you think it is. It's just what you think it is. Like, it's what you think it is.
Is there just a room full of puppies that you can just, like, lay down in?
Good night, everybody.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.